Okay, good evening, everyone. Can everybody hear me? Somebody give me a check. Okay, I saw Jack was having a little problem with his sound. Maybe coming from here, it might change some. So I hope that helps some, Jack. If it don't, I don't know what to tell you to do. Because I am not very good at these computer things either. So, well, it looks like most is sharing anyway. So thank you so much for being with us tonight. And Ron is still helping Drew with some things over his place. And so I guess I've got the task tonight. He's not here, and Lori's at home doing the recording for me. And Gary has so graciously opened the room and has some very good music. We appreciate that. And we appreciate all that all you guys do to help us get through this. And, I'd really like to get on more on Tuesday night, but it seems like family and so on shows up and we get involved in some of the things that I'm not very good at doing, and so it's a little hard for me to turn down help when I have the opportunity to get it, because I was thinking back, and I've had Mama Ann here for 386 days now from the time she got out of rehab. I kind of want to say reformatory, but that ain't right. I think she thought it was. It seemed like jail to her anyway, but no, this, all joking aside, we've had a very good year, and I thank the Lord for that too. So we're gonna go ahead and get started, and I appreciate all of you's time and effort to get on with us. And we're gonna kind of do a little, mop up on our study of the word abound, abounding, aboundeth, try to get through the rest of the words that we missed in our regular grouping, because there are four or five different meanings to this word abound. And so we'll talk about it in a minute when we after we open with prayer. So if you will, bow with me and we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the opportunity and the privilege to come this way again this evening. And Lord, we just ask that you might bless us with your grace, might bless us with your knowledge and understanding, that you give us the eyes and the ears and the mind to comprehend what you have left in print for us. And Lord, we just ask that as we open the Word, that it be that you would have us to say the things that we need to converse with each other, that we need to uplift and strengthen one another with our understanding and thoughts. And Father, we thank you again for the privilege, as we said, and we just now ask for those that have come this way, that they might get a blessing from being with us. Thank you again, everyone, for the effort. Thank you for your love, and thank you most of all, Lord, for sending your Son Jesus Christ to us, that and sending that precious gift, and having us to realize and understand that it was the greatest thing that you could do for mankind. And Lord, we just thank you for that great gift of him and his finished work and what he did. And Lord, we're going to talk about that again a little bit tonight if it's your will. We'd ask now that you go with us. Lead, guide, and direct. And what's said and done might be for your glory and for your grace. Thank you again. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Okay. We've got three or four places that I want to go to for just a few verses each. And so we're not gonna stay in one particular book tonight, but we're gonna start off again. I want to go to Matthew 24. This is study 13, and tonight's study is done on August 6th, 2014, and I want to look at Matthew 24, and we're going to go to verse 9, and we're going to look at verses 9 through 14. And in the Strong's, where we get abound there, I believe it's in Matthew 24, 12, it's in the Greek, it's plethono. And but it's in the negative sense. So most of what we got left here in for the word abound is basically in a negative sense, in general terms. And it means and it's 41:21 for the most part, but here in Matthew 24:12 is 41:29 in the Strong's, and it means to increase or multiply. And there's one thing I learned about these the words or the numbers that go along in the meanings that goes along with these words to abound, that in the sense where they're negative, and it speaks of sin or the world and what the world has to offer, and we realize and we understand that in Satan's working, he can certainly make them increase somewhat, or to be abundant to suit his purpose. And so I looked at these things and I said, oh, wait a minute, this is the reason you got four or five numbers for basically this one word. And so when we're looking at it, we need to remember that in the greatest sense that we can think about, that God provides us with our abundance. He provides us with all things. And we're probably gonna touch on that a little bit if we have time tonight, but we realize also, that in the warfare that we see here, in Scripture, that Satan does these things too, and makes his side also have some abundance, but he can't do it like God can do it. And so I think that's the reason for the many different parts of these things that we get into. So let's go to Matthew 24, and we're talking here, and there was questions and answers there. If you go back to the first part of chapter 24, when Jesus departed from the temples, and there was questions, and then there was answers to questions, and we get to verse 9, and he the time of tribulation in general. And it deals with the gospel of the kingdom. And so when we look at this, we need to remember that in general, this is negative in a sense. It says, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. So here in Matthew is saying then or at that time shall they deliver you up and betray you. And of course, and they're going to afflict those. And the affliction was unto tribulation for sure. And it said, and they shall kill you. And that kill you there is to slay you because of your belief. Your belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that still goes on today. There's places in the world that they'll kill you for calling on the name of Christ. And so it has not changed that much in 2,000 years, has it? And it says also that you shall be hated of all nations, and or by all nations. And I think he's talking here to those Jewish people that were believers, or that those that had believed on Jesus Christ when he came. And he says, you shall be hated of all nations for or on account of my name's sake, or that association that goes along with the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we certainly see and understand what they did to God's Son when he came, and we realize and know that that's what he came to do. He came to pay for man's sin. And so it had been foretold that, you know, these things would take place. And so we get down to verse 10 and we see that it's a quote, or at least a partial quote, from Isaiah 8:15. And it says, and then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. So not only the non-believers, but even those that are what I'd call kind of straddle of the fence, maybe, that they was some that were going to cause others to stumble. And certainly, you know, that happened during the time shortly after in the book of Acts, shortly after Christ ascended back up in heaven, you see the turmoil that was going on, and also see the Comforter come, but still they were people being offended and caused others to stumble. And many of the letters that the Apostle Paul wrote back to those folks was to believers at one time that had heard what he had to say and heard what that the risen Christ had given him to teach and preach. But yet, there was turmoil from within. And he says, you know, that after Paul would go in and establish these groups, that the wolves would come in after he left. And so it was necessary for these epistles to be had. And it's a wonderful thing that they have, because it gives us a greater understanding of what was going on, and certainly a greater understanding of of what they were going through at that time and the work that was before the individuals that were bringing out Christ, carrying on Christ. And you know, Paul fell into that group also. He was causing many to stumble, and he never forgot that, and couldn't forget it, because he says he persecuted the church of God. And certainly, you know, that he did. And then in verse 11 it says that many false prophets shall rise. So you see the work of Satan, and it's ongoing also. So it's, the warfare is continuing on. Many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. So with what Christ was teaching and what the others were preaching early on in the ministry, including the Apostle Paul, you know, you had those that would pick and choose what they wanted to go to the group and say, and these, you know, the things concerning the law, you know, or was it grace, or what? And you know, so they had a lot of ammunition, both sides did, that could be used. And certainly I think the false prophets really came forth in lying deceit. They came forth in their full armor of the law. And certainly that deceit was something that caused many to have a problem. And it says in verse 12, and this is what where we find the word that we have been looking at. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. So here is 41 to number 4129. Plethono, if I pronounced it right, and it means to increase or multiply. And I've got a note in, and that I've written in the Bible under over aboundness, it became full. And somebody brought it out somewhere, and I wrote it down. And I wrote it down not to forget it. And because iniquity shall become full, or to be plentiful, the love of many shall wax cold. So the lawlessness, iniquity, there is lawlessness shall abound. And then, of course, this is in a negative sense, to be multiplied. And it says the love there. The love is number, in the Strong's is number 26. That affection or benevolence, that kind of love, that kind of benevolence. It says the many there, of many, not all, but many, the many shall wax cold or grow cold. As one would breathe a shallow breath. You know, it's as if there is a dying going on there, that love, because of the lawlessness, because of what they have fallen into, the love is not there. It's turning cold. It grows. And here again, you know, is another word that could be applied to that is to grow cold. And to grow cold is 55-94. And if you look that up, it means to have a shallow breath or to be dying. Because, you know, we all need breath. Life requires breath. And if you have a shallow breath, that's an indication that life is leaving or getting less, if you will, in that situation. So, you see the consequences of all of the stumbling and the false prophets and those that are coming in and causing deception and causing grief. And the consequences of that is, you know, turning cold. It seems like when we talk about God's love or the agape love, that kind of love seems to be the kind that generates the heat, that it generates the warmth. But you know, man sometimes doesn't like that situation, so he goes the other way. And it's kind of the old man syndrome in my book, but you know, you call it what you will. And so to go on in 13 and 14, we could stop there, but let's just read the other two verses that goes along with this general sense of tribulation here. It says, "But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved." And that "shall endure" shall have endured unto, and it means to reach or touch. You know, there's reasons for these words, and unto there. If you see unto means, in a general sense, it means to reach or touch. It's going from one point to another point. And here it is the end, or the actual end, telos. And because he's talking about enduring to the end, the same shall be saved or delivered from this situation. And then you get to 14, and it says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." So we know that there is an end in sight out there. And that end is different from what it is now. And so he talks about the gospel of the kingdom, the good news. And I put a note here in my notes, and it says, "And especially to Abraham and to Abraham's seed," because I think here, you know, the Jew is still in focus, the nation of Israel. And it concerning the genitive or relationship of God and His Son toward all life, and especially to those of Abraham and to his seed. And then he talks about preaching. The gospel of the kingdom shall be preached or proclaimed to the world, in all the world. And it seems to be the then inhabited civilized world at the time of that writing. For, or with a view to, a witness. And a witness is one that generally has seen. And in this case, I think the witness here is those who proclaim God's word as truth. Ever how it comes, whether it's by a chief priest, whether it's by a prophet, or whether it's by God himself. God's word given and caused to be written down as truth. And it says, and to all nations, or the nations, if you will. So, you see there when he is giving this picture that we just looked at here, it starts off, you know, with the gospel of the kingdom, and it ends up with God's word as truth unto all nations concerning the kingdom. The kingdom. Or the gospel of the kingdom. And so I wanted to bring that to you because that was in there and I didn't want to leave it out. And we'll continue on with the next one. And I'd like for you to go with me to Romans. I know we've been in Romans before, but let's go back to Romans again. I'd like to go back to Romans 5 for just a little bit. Because, you know, sometimes when you get involved in a study and you go back and you look at these things and you say, well, I don't know if I really brought it out about this negative aspect and the positive aspect, because I certainly might have said something about it, but I don't think I see it quite like I see it now. Romans 5, and I'd like to read 15 down through, and we'll get involved with about within 19, I guess. And let me find my other notes that I've got here too. I've got some somewhere. Okay. Romans 5:15. We're gonna go down through 6:2. Romans 6:2. But we'll kind of hurry on through this because we've covered part of it before. And let me get my notes over here a little closer to the mic. Well, let's just go back to 14. It said, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. So you see there, he is talking here about the grace of God and the offense. And the offense, of course, is in the negative, the sinfulness. And certainly, when Jesus Christ came, then this grace, which is by one man, abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. So, you see, he talks about there the sins of one, and then you have the gifts there, of course, that comes from God. And the judgment was by one to condemnation, but again, the free gift can be give us justification. And I kind of fall back to justification as kind of the way I learned it before I left Baptist Church, to be justified. In a sense, it may not be what it should be, but I look at it as justified, never done it. Because when he gave his blood on the cross for me, and he paid for my sins, then I had by him been justified. Justified, never done it, because he took that upon him and nailed it to his cross with him. And that gives me the free gift of justification. And it says in 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. So you see what Adam done, his offense brought on death, and death reigned, and death still reigns. But you see, when God sent that precious gift, when he sent his son, then by that one, just like Adam, where by one sin and death came, by one righteousness and life reigned by Jesus Christ. So therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. That's what Adam gave us. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men and the justification of life. And so that's what God sent his son for, to give us that gift. And certainly Paul makes it plain, but sometimes you have to dig it out. But in some of his epistles, you know, it kind of pops up to where you can see it and understand it. And it's done in such a way that you get a, oh yeah, moment out of that. And I love it when I see that. Says in 19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And so, you know, we went back and forth. We went from Adam to the Lord Jesus Christ. From Adam to the Lord Jesus Christ. Adam was given dominion. Adam lost that dominion. And the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ in fullness and pleroma. You know, is going to take care of all that. But look at verse 20. And I guess this is what I really failed to see when we were going through it in the way that I kind of see it now, because the negative sense of all this is what comes from the prince and power of the air and those who do that bidding for him. And so that's the reason these numbers are different in the Strong's when you look them up. And even in this one verse here in verse 20, you've got that you deal with there. Because it's 41:21 twice, and then it's 52:48 one time. And it's because of what's being said, what the subject matter is. Moreover, he says in 20, the law entered that the offense might abound, that it might increase. Because the law was to show man the error of his way. It was give to direct him to the one that we're talking about that would come and make it right. And it says in 20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, or that it will grow, that it will increase, that it will become abundant. It was to make or be more. It kind of was magnified in that sense. The law magnified our shortcomings, or their shortcomings. It says, but when sin abounded, and there's the word again, abounded, and that again is 41:21, talking about sin increasing more and more. And it's the same word, 41:21. It's pleiadzo in the Greek. But look at this. It says, grace did much more abound. But when sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And that's number 52:48. And that means to superabound. And it's huperperisuo. And I'm not very good at the Greek. But I realize and understand that when he talks about grace rather than sin, or when he talks about grace other than iniquity, when he talks about grace other than lawlessness, then there's another word for it, and it means to superabound. And only God has charge-bounding aspect. He gives you enough and more for the occasion. And certainly that grace did much more abound. It didn't matter when the law entered and the offense might have magnified or might have grew, and the sin was very much prevalent, very, very much in view. Greater grace was there. Greater grace was there. So we look at 21. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so grace might reign through righteousness. How far? Unto eternal life by Jesus Christ, our Lord. So we see that at that time, when iniquity was there, and when sin was there, and when it was being magnified so the people could see it, to realize what their situation was, what shape they was in, God's grace was there abounding even more so. And he said, even so, my grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ. So there's a question that follows that in chapter 6. And you know, man put chapters and verses in, I think. And so we can't just stop right there. We got to look at 1 and 2 of 6. What shall we say then? Or what is the answer? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And the answer is no. Because verse 2 gives you for that. It says, verse 2, God forbid, may it not be. Or may it not be so. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Once we have the answer, once we see the answer, once we see the difference, you know, why do we want to deal with death and sin any longer therein when we can have the promise of life? And so we realize and understand that the Lord Jesus Christ can and will provide the amount of grace sufficient for those who believe, for those that have faith. And so that's where I wanted to go to with it. Because he says, God forbid. We don't need to have our sins magnified. We need to have our sins taken away. We need to have our sins nailed on the cross. And so it doesn't do us any good in this day and age to continue in sin. You know, that we might see grace, because he's going to give us that grace as those who believe and those that have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, there's two more places that we want to look at, and it's four for just a minute. Philippians 4. It's between Ephesians and Colossians. 4. And I want to look at 15, 16, and 17. And you know, we kind of covered this, I think, in a study back maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago. Because he's remembering the Philippians here in this letter, and and what they did for him. When he was back there, He says in 15, Philippians 4, "Now ye Philippians know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only." Okay. So he said, the Philippians, when he was back, and when he left Macedonia, that they were the only ones that gave to his needs. And it says, "For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again to my necessity." And let me find the he says, "Even in Thessalonica, you sent twice unto my need." And he reminded them again of that, because they were diligent in sending Paul what his necessity might be. And and you know, it's a great thing to have a cause and have somebody backing you up. And he says in 17, "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound unto your account." So here again is this abound there is again 41:21, but it's not really in a negative sense at all, but it is for the need of the work and of the ministry, and also the money taken for those at Jerusalem that were had sold all their goods and were penniless. So here he says, "Not because, or not that I desire or seek a gift or look for a gift," he says, "but I desire fruit. I look for fruit. I look for a growing harvest." It was as if he planted that short time that he was there in Thessalonica, that he had planted something that was going to grow fruit. And that something that he planted was the Word of God. And then he sent Timothy back there, you know, and Timothy brought back, as a witness, he brought back the fact that they were, that they were on the multiplying side, and Paul was praying that he wanted to, again, to see them face to face and to fill up that which was left behind, you know, of their needs or of their faith. So he says, "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that it may abound or multiply or increase to your account or to your supply." And and certainly that is the hope of the Apostle Paul. And we went on to 18. Paul says, I have all and abound. I'm full. And Epaphroditus was his mailman, and he said, I've received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. And he said it was an odor of a sweet smelling savor. It's that is pleasing of God in what they sent. So that fruit there, that planting was done there, and Paul is getting the fruit from that at that point. But I just wanted to bring that out to you also before we got through this. And there's so the increase there is 41:21. That their supply, that God supplies them because of their faith in their belief, in their testimony, is 41:21, and it's in the positive sense. Like I said when we started the studies back 3 or 4 months ago, it can either be negative or positive. But when we talk about things of sin and the things of the world, then we realize the numbers are a little different. And here the number is different because of the increase is for God, that he might supply that increase that they need to carry on the work at that place. Because, you know, it was always on the mind of the Apostle Paul where he established these groups that they might grow in knowledge and wisdom and also in grace. And so I wanted to bring that out. So it's about 9:15. So we'll go on with we'll go ahead and close here tonight with that. But the other place, the only one place that we got left that we haven't talked about is in 2 Peter. And I want to go to 2 Peter chapter 1 through 8 next week or next time and pick up and finish that. I didn't know how far along I could get, because my notes were kind of spread out and I was getting some of them from some previous notes that I had, and I really couldn't tell the time that I would need to get through this, but it's going to take a little while to get down through. I want to go through verses 1 through 8 in 2 Peter. And and so we'll go ahead and stop here tonight at in Philippians 4:18. We'll just go ahead and read it one more time and read through it. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing unto God. And you know, when you... when the things were put on the altar and burnt, it was a sweet smell to God, because it was put forth in that manner. And so Paul says, you did the right thing, boys. And I certainly appreciate that. And he always did. The Apostle Paul was always grateful and give thanks to God for all that people did to help the cause, because he had his plate full. He certainly had a cause, and he was called a cause that of the likes of that we've never been. So we'll conclude with that tonight, and.